everyone. A couple of weeks back, in fact, almost a month ago, I caused a little bit of controversy by saying that the situation around the Iran war and the energy shock produced by goings-on in the Strait of Hormuz, and, of course, the rise of the Green Party will have strengthened the hand of people like Ed Miliband within the British system. And because I said this in a video, I got backlash from engineering types in the community who said, actually, reality just won't allow this, which had then led to a whole debate around what has primacy. Is it politics or is it reality? What I said was that the power always has primacy, and whatever the reality is, power has a habit of being able to reframe it to its political advantage. And if the system has decided to push, for example, renewables or green, it's going to do that, and it's going to, whatever happens, it's going to reframe it in a way that is advantageous to itself. And of course, this has happened. I saw Ed Miliband, who's still there, by the way, make this tweet a while back. He said, "We're facing the second fossil fuel shock in less than 5 years. Events far away are once again impacting families and businesses here at home. We can't go on leaving our country so exposed. The solution lies in clean, homegrown power that we control." That's Ed Miliband framing it in terms of national sovereignty, almost making a kind of nationalist argument for green. Okay, that is basically the situation as it stands, and my analysis remains unchanged. However, I keep on getting pushback, and this is somebody called Sins Sprecken, who's, I would say, broadly speaking, part of our little online community here. He is clued in guy, but he's more on the kind of engineering end than he is on the, he's more like, he's one of the people who's very keen to stress the urgency of the threat to the electricity grid, which he thinks is less anti-fragile than I have suggested. And also he's skeptical of the claims of green energy, renewables, and so on and so forth. And he made a video, which we're going to watch together in a second, and we're going to ponder basically what's going to happen, what would happen if the electricity grid went down, before so-called Mad Max world, which is ultimately where a lot of the analysis of these sorts of people who insist that we're imminently facing the collapse of the grid and so on, that Mad Max world's around the corner, basically. So we're going to get into all of that. Before we get going, though, I'll remind people to pick up courses at the Academic Agency. Trivium, the bestseller. Foundations of Shakespeare also has sold well. Mega Bundle, especially over Easter, has done well. Many other great courses available. Buy it now. And now let's have a little watch together of Sins Sprecken talking about electricity. And in the time-honored fashion, I'm going to let him talk. And when I want to come in, I will pause. So let's have a little watch.
Hello there. Are you sitting comfortably? Good. Then let us begin. So this video is going to be a little bit different from my previous videos. That is due to the fact that this video is going to be a response video to Academic Agent, otherwise known as Nima Parvini, specifically focusing on his response video, which was made to Blind Bass Botanica in regards to the current energy crisis that we find ourselves in. The main thrust of Nima's argument in this whole debate, shall we call it, is that political power has primacy over engineered reality. Now, my views on this differ somewhat from Blam Blas Britannica's views in that I actually, at least in part, agree with AA on this issue.
And I will say, Foundations of Rhetoric fans, this is a fantastic persuasive technique to use in your rhetoric. Start by conceding various points that your nominal opponent has made. In fact, Tony Blair was an expert at using this strategy. It's kind of a disarming strategy, right? Because right at the top, he's conceding that I've made good points, which then kind of makes me predisposed to listen to what else he has to say. So this is actually very good applied rhetoric. Maybe he's done it. Maybe he's done the course. But anyway, let's carry on.
I do think that politicians and politics has primacy over engineered reality because engineered reality is overseen by people. And politics, at its core, is just getting people to do what you want.
Correct. Bertrand de Jouvenel, the pure theory of politics, is it, or the pure concept of politics? A man moves a man. A man moves a man. It's all of politics wrapped up in a nutshell. And he's come up on it. I mean, maybe he's read Jouvenel, but he's basically right. And this is why I always say, if economics, according to Mises, is the study of human action. Well, the way I do politics is really also a study of human action. It is that humans act, or in the case of politics, humans get other humans to act. I mean, the core of elite theory says that behind anything that happens in politics, there are people making it happen. If you apply this consistency, of course, consistently, of course, for some reason it brings people's hackles up. Lots of people somehow have this idea that things just work magically by themselves, that they gain their own momentum, not that people are making it happen. Again, I don't believe in political magic in that way. I think usually there are people making things happen who do have agendas, who do have plans, who do coordinate. And so on and so forth. But anyway, let's continue.
At the end of the day, when you sit down and think about it, that's all a politician ever really does. They just push people around. So, yes, politicians can push engineers in one direction or another to achieve their outcomes. However, in engineering, this can have some pretty disastrous consequences. One brilliant example of this would be the Challenger disaster, whereby the engineers knew and told NASA that if they flew on that day, that the O-rings sealing up part of the engine would fail. Which is exactly what happened. The politicians pushed ahead and pushed the button, telling NASA, yes, you will launch that rocket today, regardless of what anyone has said. At which point the rocket went up, and the aim of putting those seven people into space literally detonated in midair because the O-rings did exactly what the engineers said they would do. At which point,
I don't doubt this, by the way. He's absolutely correct, of course.
The politicians step back in again and they begin managing the frame. They start reframing the disaster and deciding who's going to take the blame, who isn't going to take the blame, and what's going to happen from then on. Now, it's one thing when it's just a space shuttle of seven people that blows up. It's a tragedy, really. But it's another thing entirely when the thing that blows up is the same system that the government and the state and the elite minority, specifically the managerial elite, are sitting on top of in order to maintain their political position within the world. the energy markets.
Yeah, now already I can see a little bit of departure between me and our buddy here, which is, okay, yes, they do rely on the electricity grid. Yes, their eyes and their ears are digital. And I've often said that maybe the response to them should be analog as opposed to digital, because, you know, everything digital is their system, essentially. So he's right about this. And he's also right that the managerial state, you know, has become extremely reliant on electricity and the grid, etc. However, and again, let us remember our classic Marxism here, our Louis Althusser, right? Where is he? Where is it? Reading, this one, Lenin and philosophy, right? Let's just remember our Marxism 101. Is it, in the final analysis, is it the electricity grid that keeps the government in power? In the final analysis, no. It's the, what he calls RSA, the repressive state apparatuses. What is that? It's the police and the army at the end of the day, the threat of physical violence. And we will speak more on this soon, because you have to go back to 101. In the absence of electricity, in the absence of manipulative games, perception management, and so on and so forth, the state would have to fall back on physical force, the threat of physical force. So anyway, let's just keep that in mind. Let's just keep our Louis Althusser 101 in mind as we go forward.
And specifically, the electrical grid is the biggest tool in managerialism's arsenal when it comes to frame management, perception management, communication, organization, and all things managerial. If the electrical grid fails, there will be an immediate power vacuum that is.
Now, let us just put aside for the moment his notion that the energy grid will just like that go out, that it wouldn't be a phased thing like what happened in the 70s. It wouldn't be tiered. It's just like, bam, it goes out. Okay. Now, I suspect it would be more gradually managed than that. And there'd be like a period of a new normal, right, with rationing and 3-day weeks and things like that. But let's just pretend, okay, let's not forget, I am not a technical expert on this. He is. So we have to assume he knows what he's talking about when it comes to the electricity, okay? Let's just give him that. Let's just say, since Brecon, because he understands the engineering stuff, is right, that the lights will just, bam, go out. And it won't be a transitional period. It's just, that's it. The energy grid is gone. Okay. Would that leave a power vacuum? Would that lead to the government just saying, right, it's anarchy now. It's anarchy. We just give up. And I think this is ultimately going to be where the big disagreement comes with myself in this particular video, which is my suspicion is that in that scenario where the lights just go out, what they do is they'd call the police. Anybody who's a policeman would be called in to go street by street to explain what's happening. They probably park vehicles, you know, down as many streets as they can. They'd have to call in the army, who would also have to help with this sort of operation. And very quickly, we hit a scenario where they were rationing things, where they were establishing law and order on a street-by-street level using the repressive state apparatuses. You know, maybe anybody who works for the council at a civilian level would have to be involved. Why? Why would this happen very quickly? because the state understands that they cannot allow there to be, you know, they have to maintain their monopoly of violence. Also, on a very realistic level, most normal people, abject normies, you know, non-normies, just everybody in the country would be absolutely panicking. So as a, you know, in order to maintain law and order, to prevent panic, they'd have to say, like, look, we understand what's happening here. The situation is under control. We're going to have to go into a period of possibly lockdowns, possibly rationing, until normal order is resumed, blah, blah, blah. And pretty much there'd be a state of martial law introduced, de facto martial law introduced in the country. That is how I see things going in this scenario where the lights go out, not, you know, Somalia or Mad Max world or state of anarchy. It would just be that. That's my view as someone who studied elite theory, somebody who studied politics for nigh on 10 years now. This is, I guess, a point of divergence, because, and the trouble with this is that we can't really prove it one way or the other until it happens, because it is a what if scenario. There'd also be logistical questions as to whether the armed services and the police would be able to cover the entire country using this sort of method, but I suspect they would be able to do it. I suspect they would be able to have enough manpower and have enough logistical planning ability to get most people and to inform them of what's happened and what the quote-unquote new normal would be and why rationing would be necessary and why a man with a gun is down the end of your street now. And trust me, that scenario, as draconian as it sounds, would actually end up being preferable to the Mad Max anarchy scenario, where any nutter with a machete or a machine gun or whatever can just try to, like, loot their neighbors, right? We you know, you've seen that situation in zombie movies and things like that, or in Lost or whatever else. You don't really want that happening. So I suspect the government would, you know, whatever its contingency plans are, it's probably, if the grid goes down, this script gets laid out. And I'd be surprised if there weren't contingency plans for something like that happening. So anyway, let's see where Since Brecon goes.
It's created. Once the lights go out, there is no social media. There's no one sitting on your TV screen telling you what to do. There is no phone call. There is no radio. There's nothing.
Yeah, and that's why I'm saying there'd be a man down the end of the street with a gun or a pair of handcuffs or whatever, the visible signs of authority with a uniform. He'd be telling you what to do instead. It would definitely, definitely go down like that. It's not like, oh, yeah, the government's just going to be like, yeah, we give up now. Oh, the grid's gone down. Now we give up. Now we give up our functional control over the monopoly of violence. Just no chance. They'd be down there like a shot. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me, like, exactly how that wouldn't happen in that way. Anyway, let's carry on.
You are on your own in the world.
No. It wouldn't be that. The emergency services and the army and so on, they would de facto declare martial law. You know, the government would de facto declare martial law, and out of a sense of necessity, and to stop people from panicking and looting, and you ever seen that film War of the Worlds? Right, you don't want War of the Worlds happening. To prevent all of that, they would do something along the lines that I'm saying, street by street by street by street. You know, whether it's going out with one of those big speaker things, Like they would be there. Everybody is perfectly safe. The police are here, or hello, this is Sergeant Blog, you know, Sergeant Joe Bloggs here. You're all safe. For your own safety, we ask you to remain indoors. Rations will be whatever it is. It would be a scenario like that. It would very quickly become more or less a police state until they were able to sort it out. And even if they weren't able to sort her out, they're not giving up those guns. You've got to be kidding. The government is not going to willingly give up its functional monopoly on violence.
Which?
And people who work for the government, state employees, council members, possibly even like down to the level of postmen and things, would be dragooned into this sort of service. Teachers, right? I mean, you've got to remember, people will, in a state where the electricity has gone down, it's not like all these institutions are just going to wither and die immediately. People would be called, like the people would be asked, oh, look, you know, like people would look to those things, which were, I guess, what you call community services. They'd look to the state, right? The NHS, doctors, hospital employees, teachers, 999 services, like all of these functionaries of the state would kick in, and they play their role in this de facto police state I'm talking about. And people would look to them because they'd be scared, they'd be panicking, they wouldn't know what to do. So those people would get briefings as to what to do. Now you could say, well, how are they going to do this, right? Without the internet, or without, you know, phones or something like this. There'd be a way to do it. I mean, even if it's a bloke, you know, in a Jeep, right? Driving with a Jeep, because there'd still be, you know, in theory, there'd be cars and petrol and things like that. They'd find a way to let everybody know. Pretty convinced of that. So anyway, let's carry on.
Probably won't red pill the normies. The normies are just going to be very, very confused, like a load of cattle sat in a field where the fence around the field's just burned down. They don't know what's happened. All they know is they're a lot more free suddenly, and nobody's...
There's just no way. They're not more free. Police and the army would be there in a jiffy, son. You've got to be like, this is again... You've got to be living in a la-la world to think that all it would take was the electricity grid to go down, for the government to give up and allow normie people to sit in a field like cattle and be like, you're just free to do what you want now. Wouldn't happen in that way.
Coming to feed them anymore. That's all they know. They don't understand what the fence burning down means.
There would be people coming to feed them, quote unquote. There'd be rations. There'd be, you know, think of all the stocks of Tesco's and Sainsbury's and all the supply chains and all of the factories and all those things, right? Just because electricity grid's gone down doesn't mean that immediately stocks have run out or something like that. Okay. And again, in that scenario, the government would just de facto declare a police state and they would start rationing. And they'd be like, you know, here's your tin of beans, courtesy of your PC plodder, whatever else. This is the sort of thing that would happen in this. And the messaging would be, look, we have to do this until we get the situation under control. People are working day and night to fix it. Right? That's basically what would happen in this scenario that he's talking about. He's imagining that the grid goes down and it's just like almost overnight Mad Max world. Wouldn't happen in that way. You're not getting Mad Max world without a fight from the British state. It would take an actual fight against the army or the police, or the combined forces of the entire bureaucracy, even without electricity, to reach Mad Max world. You're not going to get de facto anarchy from a state that has existed for hundreds of years at this point.
They just know that it's gone. And the problem then comes that someone else is going to come along and build whatever fence they can manage to steal off different sections of the cattle, so to speak. Because once the...
He's imagining like warlords emerging and things like that. Not going to happen if the state is there trying to maintain its monopoly of violence. Major missing component in the analysis here, unfortunately. So consider this my rebuttal, I guess. Let's see if we need to watch to the very end, or let's see what else happens here.
Grid fails, so too goes the centralized power.
No, so too does not go the centralized power. Because at its base, the centralized power is built on the security state, not the electricity grid. It's built on the fact that they've got the monopoly of violence. This is Machiavelli 101, just politics 101.
The elite minority is literally sitting atop the electrical grid, ruling from on high. Once the electrical grid is gone, the playing field is leveled.
No. Where's the army gone? Where's the police gone? Still there, and they would take over in a jiffy. And people would actually be grateful to them as well. They'd be like, I'm so glad you're here, Sergeant Major Jones, or, you know, whoever else. They'd be like, because they'd be worried and panicked, and people would be freaking out. And there'd be this spirit that would kick in that, you know, just because the electricity's gone down doesn't mean life stops. We still have to do school. We still have to, you know, people would still be wanting to send their kids to school. There'd be like efforts to keep companies going and things like that as well. These are all the things that would actually take place in such a scenario. He's just imagining literally just the state collapses overnight. Wouldn't go like that.
There aren't the institutions that there were in the 1970s. We aren't the people that we were in the 1970s. A 3-day working week isn't going to cut it. If you try to run a 3-day working week in modernity, the whole system falls over. You can't be a nimble electronic service provider without any electricity, funnily enough. The manufacturing industries of old could to some degree get by, to some degree, because you had certain processes, such as steelworking, which is more reliant on the coal. But the problem is, now, we don't make anything. We just make numbers on screens. And once those screens go black, we make nothing at all. Not even the numbers on screens. They're gone. And therein lies the problem. We are entirely reliant on electrical means of existence at this point. In the 1970s, the lights went out. You went round to your parents' house, family, friends, wherever. You went there because they had a coal fire, warmth, heat, a means to cook food that wasn't electric. Now, however, if your electricity goes out, your boiler goes out, your cooking utilities go out, your internet goes out, your TV goes out, all means of communication immediately break down. There is no reframing of the narrative because there is no narrative. It's a story that ends halfway through a page and the rest of the book is blank. You don't know if in 10 pages or so the story is going to start again. Because,
all right, I think we've I think we're just going to go around in circles on this because his basic premise is what it is. And I just fundamentally disagree as to what would happen in such a scenario. He's just imagining like the government gives up or the state just collapses. I just don't think that would happen. because the RSA is the repressive state apparatus are there. So anyway, maybe since Brecken would have to go back to the drawing board to rethink this one. My view really is that the technology is that he's right that the system is, or our system is, extremely reliant on electricity for all sorts of things. He's right about that. But power ultimately doesn't rest on electricity. It rests on monopoly violence, monopoly control over violence. And so there's no real getting around the fact that he who controls the army and the police basically has de facto control. And that's not going to go anywhere just because the grid has gone down. All right. Let me know what you make of this one, friends. Pick up a course at the Academic Agency, and I'll see you all next time. If you like this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the Academic Agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just 3 of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.